Let's just bow our heads for a moment as we pray. Heavenly Father, we look to you, Lord, to your Holy Spirit. We pray, Lord, that you might speak through your word, through my words now, as you lead us, Lord, to understand, that we might hear and know your heart and your presence with us. We pray for that blessing, Lord, to us all in Jesus' name. Amen. A lady is led to the lectern to read the Bible in church. She remains standing, announces the text, and begins to read. Looking up and out to the congregation, she reads with clarity and feeling, still looking up and out, and never down. She continues reading with grace. Her demeanour, her voice, and tone convey her empathy and understanding of the passage she reads. The reading finished, she closes with the line, "This is the word of the Lord," to which we reply, "Thanks be to God." And then the blind lady is led back to her seat. While she might not read the printed words in the book as we may, it is clear to those listening that she knows what she is reading. Her eyes cannot see what she is talking about, the words, but the reality of what she is speaking of and who she is speaking of are there in her hearts. And it's that reality, that spiritual sight, that is the concern of Mark and Jesus through chapter 8 and 10. Beginning and ending with blind men and everyone in between. When it comes to spiritual sight, we may think we see more than the blind. With sight, we think we see more. But with spiritual sight, we are as blind as everyone else. Everyone in the road and on the road with Jesus to Jerusalem is spiritually blind. The message of the chapters, in a sense, might be summed up in the words to say that God is opening eyes so that hearts can see Jesus. God is opening eyes so that hearts can see Jesus. Jesus is walking with his disciples, preparing them for what is ahead. It is a turning point in the Gospel of Mark, ahead of the great drama to come. The central theme in these chapters is spiritual blindness and spiritual sight. At the beginning and end of the road, Jesus heals a blind man. We've just heard of the first, at the beginning of the section, which ends in chapter 10 with another blind man, blind Bartimaeus. At the heart of the teaching in these chapters is the cross and the resurrection of Jesus. But almost everyone, indeed, everyone apart from Jesus on this road to Jerusalem is portrayed as spiritually blind. And it's that theme that we enter as we come to look at these chapters over the coming weeks. We begin with the disciples themselves, who are exposed in the first words and readings we read as themselves as being spiritually blind. And I pause as we turn now to the text and read these verses at the beginning that expose the reality of the Pharisees themselves. Verse 14. The disciples have forgotten to bring bread, except for one loaf that they had with them. I can sympathize with the Pharisees. One loaf of bread for 12 men will not be enough. And the disciples are concerned. Clearly it's not enough, and the disciples are anxious. And Jesus says to them, watch out. Beware of the yeast of the Pharisees, the negative teaching of the Pharisees, which sows doubt and incredulity of Jesus' teaching. Having warned them, Jesus continues with a simple optical examination. He goes back to the two bread miracles, the feeding of the 5,000 in Mark 6, the feeding of the 4,000 in Mark 8. The simpler question is this: how many loaves before and after? How many loaves to feed the 5,000? Five. How many baskets full of loaves after the feeding of 5,000? 12. 4,000. How many loaves before? How many basketfuls afterwards? Seven loaves, seven basketfuls. Five loaves to feed 5,000 men, plus the children and families. Seven loaves to feed 4,000. So why are you worrying about bread? They do not see. As Jesus says, do you not see? Do you not understand? No, they're worried about bread. They are blind. In the first part of Mark's Gospel, announced with the good news in chapter 1, in the major section in Galilee, Jesus has gone healing, preaching, amazing teaching, exorcism. Crowds have gathered and followed him. Thousands have been fed. Thousands more have been fed. Miracles have been happening. The disciples have been on the inside track, being taught more through the parables and the crowds. And yet we come to chapter 8, and there's incredulity. They don't know what's going on. They don't know who Jesus is. They don't know what he's going to do. But Jesus is now turning away from Galilee. He is on the road. And that theme, on the road, will be going on in these chapters. They're on the road to Jerusalem. They're on the road to the crucifixion and beyond. But now in these chapters, Jesus turns with the focus on the disciples, and the concern is their blindness. And now we begin to see God opening eyes that hearts may see Jesus. It will not be easy. It will not happen even with one blind man. But the process begins now as Jesus speaks to show them who he is. So we move to this blind man, verse 22. The blind man that's brought to Jesus with no sight. And Jesus draws the man from the village, takes him out of the village, and speaks to him, spits on his eyes, and asks him, do you see? And the man said, yes, but it's like trees walking. It's blurred. And then, of course, Jesus speaks again, touching the man a second time, and says, do you see? And the man sees everything clearly. And they begin on the road. And then Jesus asks the big question, who do people say that I am? A prophet, Elijah, John the Baptist. Who do you say I am? And then Peter, speaking for the disciples, you're the Messiah. You're the Christ, the anointed one. You're the King. You're the one we read about in Isaiah, my servant, who will come to open blind eyes and to heal and bring freedom. You're the Messiah. Peter has recognized Jesus. This is climactic. This is an amazing reality. He has seen Jesus. He's recognized him. Speaking for the disciples who have seen now. Seconds ago, they were blind. They were worried about a loaf of bread. And now Peter's saying, you're the Messiah. And he says, be quiet. And their mind, what's happening? They've seen Jesus, but they've not seen him yet fully. They've not yet understand him. They're blind, as we'll soon find out as we move on in the story. But thus far, they've seen Jesus. God has opened their eyes. Their hearts are now looking to Jesus. And to see now, this is the King of Kings. This is the Messiah. This is going to lead to amazing things, as we see in the stories. They want to be in the best seats in the house. They want to be there with the Lord doing, you know, we're now with Jesus. They're away, they are. They're now almost macho. They're really going for it now. But they don't see him because they keep, as we'll see in the chapters that follow, they're blind to it all. They've recognized it, but it's like blurred vision. The miracle of this blind first man money is deliberate. Jesus doesn't need a second attempt to touch. But he shined in his heart. The man has seen something, as the disciples are seeing something. Of course, the first blind man was not the only blind man in that miracle. Jesus takes aside the blind man. Who was standing with him? The 12 disciples. How many blind men are standing there at this first miracle? It is not one blind man. This is 13 blind men. They're all blind at that point. Immediately after that miracle, as they walk on, they said, now, who am I? Then, you're the Messiah. Yes, he is. They've seen him. See, the miracle beginning here is just the beginning of the revelation as God is opening the eyes that we see in our hearts, see Jesus, and the transformation, and to see Jesus and to know Jesus. But it'll be a struggle, it'll be a difficult process that they're going through in these chapters. To apply this for ourselves, the message for ourselves. If we've recognized Jesus as the Christ, if we know no more than that, if we've experienced that, a miracle will have taken place in our hearts. Whatever else we say about our understanding of Christian faith, whatever understanding even of the cross at one level, if we've recognized that Jesus, there's a miracle taken place, we would need more miracles than that first miracle to grow in faith. But if, like the disciples, we have seen Jesus and recognized he is the King, he is the Anointed One, there will be many things we don't understand as a new Christian. There may be questions about the Bible, questions about this or that, difficult questions, difficult concerns. Maybe you struggle with faith. Maybe you struggle with prayer. Perhaps you're still overwhelmed with issues. Maybe you have no sense of forgiveness. Maybe you're still overwhelmed with sin and this secret whatever's in our hearts and lives. Maybe our behavior is not what it should be, All of these things are the reality of these disciples on this road now. They've not arrived at this point in chapter 8. They don't know where it's going yet. They've just seen Jesus is the Messiah. But the miracle's taken place. Their hearts have recognized him. The spiritual vision, though, is still blurred, as the healing of the blind man, the blind 13 men. The vision is still blurred. Grace has shone into our hearts, which is the work of the Spirit. Without Jesus Christ, without the Spirit, we're all spiritual blind. But once we see Jesus in our hearts, something is happening. But like the blind man, the blind men, will we need a second touch, a third touch? This is not a new experience in the sense of we might think we've got to experience something, but it is the reality that we grow in faith and understanding as the Lord opens our hearts, as the Apostle Paul will later write. Open the heart of our understanding. Open the heart of our understanding of the cross. Sadly, so many people could stop at this point, recognizing Jesus, and then have a problem with the cross. And so we'll need to move understanding to the cross, of course, is where we understand what God has done for us. And all of that will come. And that's the prayer and the concern in what follows in the chapters. But God has begun something. He will complete it. The wonder in the story is that Jesus touched the man's eyes a second time when he could see everything clearly. So too, as he touches our eyes, we see more and more as we proceed in faith, as we grow in faith, as we look more. Our faith is deepened and strengthened as we know the love behind what we're talking about. At this point, the disciples don't know that. There's not a sense of love yet of God, because they're not yet understand the cross. Until we understand the cross, we might recognize God. I think of C.S. Lewis in his biography or story of faith. The penultimate chapter is called, you know it, I'm sure, Checkmate, where he acknowledged God was God, but there was no joy there until the day when he was on the bus to Ypsinate Zoo, I think it was. And when he got there, he'd seen Jesus, and his heart was filled with joy. And so too many of us can be clear in our faith, we believe. But as we grow in love, to experience the love of God in the cross, as these disciples will need to do, when they start to see more and their eyes have a clear understanding and they see the love beyond the cross, they see the resurrection beyond the cross, they see the glory, which will come in a week or two at the transfiguration beyond the cross, as they see more and more, their hearts are changed until we come to blind Bartimaeus. But you know, even after all that, what does Peter do at the time of the cross? He denies Jesus. Where are the disciples? They're partially blind still. They've run from the cross that Jesus said they must take. And so too might we, as we, you know, cheapen our faith. We're too costly. And so we have the man that turns away from it, who won't give up or whatever. And so the challenges will come in the story that follows these chapters here, as this spiritual sight comes clearer, the love of God touches hearts, as we see in our hearts, and it changes us and blesses us. And so the joy and the confidence and the commitment, which I see here, we know. We see it, don't we? But there are Christians that can stop too soon, as it were, And the cross is too expensive. The cross is too challenging, as we see. But a miracle has taken place now only because of amazing grace. I once was blind, but now I see. As he sang and spoke Newton from the heart. And that's the journey that the disciples were on. They were on it as we read about it. We're reading in hindsight now with the whole gospel complete, given to Mark from Peter. We have it, here it is. But as we're reading it, them and the story at the time are growing in that perception and understanding. And as we understand that, that can help us and give us confidence that the work that God has begun in our hearts, in our understanding, will grow. And as it grows, our hearts are changed, our lives are moved. As we're blessed, we experience the love, and so on and so on. And it goes on and on. And that's the wonder in these chapters. But as we go through them, may the disciples' experience be, in a sense, ours as we enter the story as they did, and as we seek to grow in our understanding and openness to the faith. I've wrote a few lines on a handout I've got here to give us some overview, as it were. What I do say here was, I was going to say at the beginning, but I meant to say it, that Mark uses what the technical word is inclusio, but the better way of putting it is it's a sandwich. So what we're looking at in these chapters, just between to get your homework for next week, is a sandwich. And in a sandwich of Mark, you have two pieces of bread and then a filling. And the slices in the sandwich are the blind men. One blind man at the beginning, one blind man blind of Bartimaeus. And in between, you've got the sandwich. And in the sandwich is the teaching on spiritual sight. But at the heart of that teaching are three times Jesus will say, I must suffer and be rise again. I must suffer and be rise again. So in other words, the filling is the cross. So it's understanding, everything that follows now is understanding the cross, which we'll come to next week. And of course, this is where we look at Peter coming to terms with that and the what follows. But in between is that the cross and the love of God in the cross. And our prayer is that we will understand that as we come to that. I'll close now in prayer. God is opening eyes. God is opening eyes so that hearts may see Jesus. Father, we pray, Lord, that you may open our hearts. You may help us, Lord, to see Christ in our hearts, to see the love, Lord, behind the story, to see, Lord, your grace in the story. For we, Lord, were all blind. For without you, we are all blind spiritually. We just don't understand, Lord. We don't see, as you say to the disciples. And so, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that by your grace, you have revealed to us your love, your person, and your work in Jesus through your Spirit. And Father, we pray we might know that today in our hearts. And help us, Lord, more than that, to help us, Lord, to relate to our families, our friends, our non-Christian friends, and so on around us, Lord, that we might have understanding for them, for they too will be blind as we once were. And help us, Lord, to understand that and love them in that context. And Lord, seek, we pray, that through our prayer and your work within us together, we may help them to see, Lord, who you are. and what you've done for us. For we pray this in your name. Amen.